us to the book of John, if you will, John chapter 2. And we'll pick back up where we left off last week and go a little farther. We're going to change gears just a little bit tonight, a little different direction of what we've been going on Wednesday night, and looking just a little bit in a different direction, I guess you'd say. And I desperately desire your prayers tonight. It has been a wild week. That's the only way I know to put it. And I wished I'd had more time to dig into this, but I can't get away from it. I said, Lord, you want me to go somewhere else? Because I ain't had a whole lot of time to dig into this. And I wanted to go in, some of you preachers know what I'm talking about. I wanted to go in some places where I was familiar with. God said, no, won't you go right here? I said, okay, yes, Lord, we're going to go right here. Amen. And I'm going to try to mind the Lord tonight. He gave us some thoughts as we was coming down the road there in this scripture, and I believe it'll be a blessing and a help to us tonight. Stand with us, if you will, for the reading of God's Word. What we're going to do tonight is I'm going to read verses 24 and 25 to get our minds back to that. If you'll remember, for the last few weeks, we've been preaching on, for he knew what was in man. He knows us tonight, church. I want you to understand that. He knows all about us. Amen. I'm telling you, he knows how many hairs on my head, knows how many I lost today, knows everything about my body. Those that's sick, he knows what's wrong with you. When the doctors stand there and scratch your heads, he knows. Amen. Knows it all. Amen. He knows what we've done this week. He knows how many times that I've failed him. He knows how many times that he's been pleased with what I've done. He knows it all about us. Ain't nothing he don't know. Amen. And I ain't just talking about in the present. I ain't talking about in the past. I'm talking about in the future. Amen. God already knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what you're going to do the next day. He knows every one of us, if the time tarries and he don't come back to get his church, every one of us is going to die. It's like I said Sunday morning. God knows that time, that second out there in our lives that he may take us on to be with him. He knows that. And he knows all about you from now until that time. Amen. You say, preacher, that kind of makes me nervous. Well, if that makes you nervous, you just need to get in the altar. Amen. Amen. You need to get right with God. I don't know about you, but that blesses me that he would even care enough about me to even know me. Amen. I'm glad tonight he knows us. Amen. What a blessing it is. But we talked about that. And we talked about, as we get into this scripture, that he is talking about where he went in and purged the temple there. We talked about how he knew those that he found in the temple. He knew those that sold. He knew those that bought the offerings there, if you will, the sacrifices. He knew all about them. He knew what they was doing while they were there. And he knew that they wasn't doing right. They were in sin, if you will. He knew that. And so we looked at a lot of that. We looked at what the oxen, the sheep, and the doves, and all those, what it all meant. We examined that quite a bit. And then last week, as we kind of ended that section there, God really burdened upon our heart. And for those of you that wasn't here last week, I want to throw this out here just to get your mind to thinking about this just a little bit. Where he said there, he made a scourge out of many small cords, and he drove them out. And that statement there, church, still has been ringing in my ears as I looked at that statement there. He drove them out. How many times do you read in the Word of God? And I'm just giving the introduction. I'll let you be seated here in just a minute, but listen to me. How many times do you read in the Word of God that Jesus or God the Father, even the Holy Spirit, says, come? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, those that come unto him, he said he was in no wise cast out. Amen. He said, everyone in every place. I read to you last week in Revelations over there in the last part. He says this, and the Spirit says, come. And the bride says, come. And everything that had breath says, come. Okay, it's an invitation. But when we read right here in this verse in Scripture, in verse number 15 there in the second chapter, we find there that he said, and he drove them out. He drove them out of the temple. Rather than looking at them and drawing them in, he drove them out and said, get out of here. You've turned my father's house into a house of merchandise. I believe this is one of the most horrible verses other than the scripture where it says, where you look at those that say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. I believe those are the two most horrible verses in the Bible. And I told you this last week, and I'm just kind of reviewing here, okay? I told you this last week that every time that you hear that statement, every time where he said he drove them out, every time he made that statement, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You know who he was saying it to? that religious bunch. He wasn't saying it to that sinner that was out there in the bars or in the taverns or out there drunk or whatever. But he was saying that to that religious folk that was in the house of God thinking they were doing right, thinking they were right with God. But on the reality of it was they were not right with God, okay? They were not right with him. And that's when he drove them out. I said, Lord, help us. Lord, help us tonight. The Bible says in Proverbs, there's a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end of the earth ways of death. Amen. We need to understand that tonight. And that, I don't know about you, but it's that soft thought has been in my mind. I thought, Lord, please, every time I come to the house of God, let me come with a heart of worship. Let me come with a thought of worship. Please, Lord, don't ever drive me out. Please don't ever let my worship when I come be so bad that you would look at me and drive me out. You said, preacher, that's not going to happen. It happened in the Bible. And he's still the same God. The Bible says, I am God. I shall change not. That's what he said. Amen. It's right there in the scriptures. He said in one place over Revelation chapter 3, he said, you're lukewarm because you're lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Amen. That's what he said. So we need with that thought to realize this whole scenario here of what happened in the temple there, that these religious folk have been drove out of the temple. Now, preacher, why would he do that? Because he wants his temple, his house, to be pure. He wants it to be righteous. He wants it to be right. He wants it to be holy. And I believe we need to have it that way. Amen. And if we're going to have it that way, the first thing we've got to do is acknowledge him. The first thing we've got to do is acknowledge the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. I believe that. But as we look at this scripture, I want you to realize in verses 24 and 25, what he says here, he knoweth them. Verse 24 says this, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of him, for he knew what was in man. When he did that driving out, when he did that purging of the temple, he did it because he knew what was in the heart of that person. There's been many of you, listen to me, I'll let you sit down in a minute. I have to stand up, so y'all have to stand up in a minute, okay? There's been a many person that has come to God and said these words. You remember the publican in there that walked up to it, wouldn't even bow his head, just bowed his head, wouldn't even approach the altar there, but he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He's in the temple saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Show me in the scriptures where God cast him out. Show me in the scriptures where God got rid of him. No, that humility was there. And they came to him. He came to him humbly, okay? Read over there in the scripture in the book of Hebrews. He said, come to the throne of grace boldly. Amen. Come to the throne of grace boldly that you may find help in time of need. In other words, if we come, we must come with a thought, if you will, of humbleness walking in before him. Amen. Why, preacher? Because he knows us. You can't fool him tonight. Amen. I can't fool him tonight. He knows us tonight. Amen. For he knows me. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We love you tonight. Oh, God, I thank you for the good Holy Spirit I feel down in my heart tonight. Thank you, Lord, how you've already touched us. Father, I lift my hands toward heaven and say it's you, and I give you glory tonight. Lord, I pray you, God, you'd help us, Lord, in the first of this message. God, I pray you, parent spirit, to be upon us. Lord, I ask you, God, that the Spirit of God would come and loose our tongue. Lord, I pray you use it. God, speak the words that you need to say tonight. Father, don't let me say anything whatsoever. Lord, give me fresh oil and fresh unction tonight to be able to preach. Thus saith the word of God. Lord, I ask God that you take the word. Let it go out into the hearts of your people. Let it find a lodging place there that it bring forth repentance. Lord, thank you, God, again for this group of people that's here tonight. Lord, I do pray for everyone they're missing, that's lost, don't know any free part of sin. Lord, I pray you touch them. I pray you just convict their heart that they might be saved. Oh, God, do that needs to be done in every heart and in every life, Lord, here tonight. Lord, whatever is accomplished, Lord, I'll give you praise. I'll give you glory. I'll give you honor for everything you do. For to Jesus' name we do pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to look in verses 17 and also verse 22 tonight. I needed to give you a review a little bit of what we looked at last week to kind of get your mind back looking at this. But we are going to change gears just a little bit tonight. But I need you to see where these people were and where these ones that were cast out, the condition that they were in. I still, I'll be honest with you, church, as I
study back through this, and I looked back through this just a few minutes this morning and began to look at this, and that statement jumped back out at me there where he said, and he drove them out. And I say again, just like I did last week, I wonder how many churches today that if Jesus walked in our churches and walked through the aisles and walked up, that he might turn around and drive out a lot of the old religious junk that we have in there. Amen. I wonder if he wouldn't come in and make him a hyssop and drive them out, that old junk out of there. Amen. I wonder. And I wonder about our worship. Amen. If we're really worshiping true. Amen. The Bible says he's a spirit and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And I believe that's the only way that you will worship him. Amen. I do believe that. And so I wanted you to understand that. I wanted to kind of reiterate that. But the thought I want you to see is that he didn't do that for just any ordinary reason. He did not just do that just to be mean. He did not do that just to be, just because he was a certain Jesus, if you will. But he did that because of what they were doing. And he knew exactly, down deep in their heart, exactly what was in there. He knew that that's what he had to do, okay? So I wanted you to get that if you didn't get nothing else. Now, let's change gears just a little bit. Look at verse 17. We've been talking about he knows those that were in the temple. But I'll say to you tonight, he also knows his disciples. I'm glad tonight he knows his disciples. Amen. What a blessing to know that. Notice verse 17 as we jump back up here and read this. The Bible says here, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Jump down with me to verse number 22. The Bible says this, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. I want to say to you tonight, I'm glad that Jesus knows his disciples. Amen. Now I know you automatically think in your mind, well, that's talking about Peter, that's talking about James, that's talking about John, that's talking about Matthew, that's talking about all these others. Yes, it is. But I want to say to you tonight, I'm glad it's talking about me. Amen. I'm glad he knows us tonight, church. He knows everything we need. Amen. He already knows what's going to happen. Amen. You say, preacher, you already said that. Let me say it one more time, can I? He already knows what you're going to do tomorrow. Amen. He already knows what's coming, church. We can wring our hands and worry about so much. Worry about what the world's doing and what's happening in the world. And I'm here to tell you tonight, he's got it under control. Amen. He's got it under control tonight. Amen. You can watch whatever newscast you want to watch. It don't matter. I'm here to tell you, Jesus has it under control. Amen. He knows everything. Amen. He's took care of it. I've done read the back of the book and we win. Amen. Thank God we've got victory tonight. Amen. I said that last week. I'm going to say it again. I'm glad we got victory tonight. Amen. But the good news is that he knows his disciples. Amen. Ain't it a blessing to know that he knows you tonight? And he don't only know you tonight, but he knows you by name. Amen. I'll guarantee you, if you asked him his disciples, he could call every one of their names tonight. Amen. I guarantee you, he could name them, tell you exactly where they're from, tell you how old they was. Amen. Listen to me tonight. I'm glad he knows us by name. Amen. We could go through, and he knows each and every person in here. Amen. Each and every disciple, he knows. I got different needs than you do. You've got different needs than I do. And God knows those needs. Amen. I say glory to God for that. Amen. And he's able to supply those needs. Amen. He's able to give us all those needs. Amen. Oh, what a blessing to know that he knows us tonight. Amen. He provides for us. He sets a table. Do you remember the scriptures over there in the Psalms chapter 23? Bible says there that he prepares a table before me, right in the presence of mine enemies. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad he prepares for me. Amen. Makes it ready. He gets out there and makes the rough ways straight for us. Amen. He gets out there and he'll walk before us. And when we get to a place where there's a pitfall or maybe a place where we might fall, he'll lead us in the right direction if we'll just follow him. Amen. He's got your best interests in mind. Amen. He cares for you. Amen. Does he not say in the scriptures over there, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. I say, oh, what a Savior tonight. Amen. I say, oh, what a God we have that would know us and care for us and love us. Amen. Choir, I appreciate that song you sung. Amen. He loves me. He loves me. Can I say it again? He loves me. Anybody want to say it with me? Amen. He loves me tonight. Amen. Now, think about this now. He loves you even though he knows you. That's a blessing. That ought to put a shout in the backslid Presbyterian. Amen. Thank God. Amen. He loves you even though he knows you. Amen. Amen. If I knowed half the stuff that you done, I probably don't know if I'd love you or not. If you knowed half the stuff I done, you probably wouldn't love me either. Amen. But Jesus knows everything about everybody and still loves us. Amen. I say glory to God for that. Amen. What a blessing to know that he loves us. He cared for us. Amen. He prepared for us. Amen. Notice with me in the scriptures, I'm going to give you a couple things here. I'm going to try to be brief tonight, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not because I'm enjoying this. Amen. I'm glad tonight he knows his disciples. And he knows what his disciples need. Now, in this scripture, if you realize and you notice this as you study it, these disciples have just been called. These disciples have not been with Jesus all that long. You can turn back just a couple of chapters when he went there and he called Peter and John there, and as they were mending the nets and everything, you know the story there. And he called them there, and it ain't been all that long that he actually has called them. So they ain't had a whole lot of time, if you will, to stay with Jesus there, okay? They ain't had a whole lot of time to stay there with him. And Jesus knows that. Amen. Listen to me. I'm going somewhere with this. And Jesus knows that. But there's one thing that these men evidently do know, and that is the scriptures. Amen. Notice with me in verse 17, what's the Bible say? When they seen him go in there and purge the temple and cast all them folks out, what's the Bible say in verse 17? And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. That's, you'll find that in Psalms chapter number 69 and verse number 9. And they remembered that they had the scriptures there. They remembered that God, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, had written that down. And they realized that it was coming to pass right in front of their eyes, that scripture that had been prophesied was coming to pass right in front of them. Now you say, well, preacher, why is that so important? I believe it's important because Jesus wanted them to realize who he was. Jesus wanted them to realize that he had all authority, okay? I realize as we look at that temple there, I realize there's probably some high priests in there. I realize there were some leaders of the church sitting in there. And as Jesus walked into this place and began to make a hiss and began to drive them out and began to get them out of the temple there, I believe he wanted them to understand that he had the authority to do that. Amen. Even the Jews in the scriptures there, we'll get to that later on, but even the Jews in the scriptures asked him, said, by what authority do you do this? Show us a sign by what authority you do this. But he's doing it because he is the Son of God. Amen. He's doing it because he's got the authority. That's his Father's house, and he can do it. Amen. And he wants them disciples to see that. Amen. Amen. Listen, he didn't just tell the disciples to go somewhere else while he done it. But he wanted them to be right there while he was purging the temple. He wanted them to be right there while he was walking through the temple and cleansing the temple. Amen. Can I say to you tonight, Jesus wants you to be beside him. Jesus wants you to realize his authority. Amen. Jesus wants you to realize how big he is. Amen. I don't know what these men looked like that was in there selling the sacrifices and stuff. Some of them might have been small. Some of them might have been big. They might have been some of them in there that was 6'6", weighed 350 pounds, solid muscle. I don't know. The Bible don't say. Amen. They could have been five of them. They could have been 10 of them. They could have been 20 of them. I have no idea. But I do know this. On the authority of God's word, he didn't care who was in there. He made that scourge and he began to drive them out. Amen. He began to purge the temple there and to purge the house of God. Can I say to you tonight, we don't need to worry about who is around us. We just need to get right with God. Amen. We just need to get right with God. Amen. We need to take the example of our Savior. And if there's anything that's within us that is wrong, anything that's within us that is sin, anything that's within us that would hinder us from worshiping him, we need to get rid of that, church. We need to run it out. Make you a scourge and run it out of your hearts. Amen. I believe that. He wanted those disciples to realize he has that authority. I want to say this, and I said this the other night while I was preaching up there at outreach. And I believe this is something that we need as in the day and time we live. We need to understand this, okay? Jesus is the final authority. We live in a society today when people have a problem with authority. They're having a problem with someone telling them to do something. They have a problem with the laws, okay? I'll be totally honest with you right here. There is some laws that they pass that I stand and scratch my head, okay? There is some laws that they pass that I just have to say, they're gone stone crazy. It goes against the Word of God, and I am not going with it, okay? There's some of them. But you listen to me tonight. That King James Bible you've got in your lap right there, it is the final authority. And God is the one that wrote it down. And the Holy Ghost is the one that breathed it. And it is the final authority. And you cannot go against that. Amen. You cannot go against that Bible. Hey, listen, if it says it, it's right. If it says it, it's true. Amen. If it says it, you can stake your life on it. Amen. It is true. And it is the final authority. You know what you're going to be judged by when you get to heaven? Preacher, I don't know about that. I heard a preacher say one time, he said he believed that there's going to be a copy of the King James Bible in heaven, and that's what he's going to be judged by. And at first I thought to myself, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's right or not. But then the thought came to me this, God is righteous. Would you agree with me? God is holy. Would you agree with me? God's not going to tell you to live by one book and judge you by another book. Amen. And that King James Bible that you have is the Bible for an English-speaking people. It is our Bible, okay? So when we get to heaven, I believe that he's about right. Amen. I believe there'll be a copy of that King James Bible, and I believe we'll be judged by that Bible. I don't know about you, but I say, oh, woe is me. Amen. Oh, woe is us. But we will be judged by that Bible right there. Amen. Every word that's in it, because it is a final authority. Listen, you can argue with a preacher all you want to. And I preach like this till I die. I preach like this till I lose my breath. And you can sit back there if you want to and say, ah, he don't know what he's talking about. Ah, that ain't right. You can do all you want to. But you listen to me now. You ain't going to argue that right there. You ain't going to argue with Jesus, amen. It is the true, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And I believe what, listen to me tonight, I believe what Jesus wanted his disciples to see is that he has the authority. Amen. You know what? I thought about this. When I was thinking about this, God gave me a thought. I thought, you know what really jumped out at them when they seen Jesus taking the scourge and running those folks out? The first thing that hit their mind, now listen to me, this is scripture. The first thing that hit their mind was not, well, I can't believe he'd do that. The first thing that hit their mind was not, well, what are they going to do for a sacrifice? No. The first thing that hit their mind, according to scripture, is that it is written in Psalms chapter 69, verse 9, that the zeal of my Father's house hath eaten me up. In other words, their mind automatically went back to the scriptures, amen, that he has authority to do that. Children, as disciples of Jesus Christ, every single time we see God move, we ought to say, he's worthy. He has the authority, amen. We ought to say, glory to God, he's got the authority, amen. We need to understand tonight that he knows us. He knows us. Can I say it again? He knows us. And he knows what you need to understand tonight is that he does have the final authority. He does have the final authority. Thank you, Lord, for the thought. What does he have the final authority over? I'm glad he's got a final authority over me. I surrendered one night as a 14-year-old boy. Come to the altar and said, Lord, I need a Savior. And I surrendered my life to him. Amen. Remember, just a little while later, he called me to preach. And like an idiot, I run for a little while. Say amen right there. About 5 years later, I finally surrendered. And I've given my life ever since. Amen. He has authority. I'll give him my authority. Amen. You say, preacher, you've been perfect. Oh, no. There's been times that I've went the other way. Times that I did not go with his authority. Went the other way. And I had to say, God, forgive me of that. I'm glad he's a God of second chances. Ain't you? Amen. I'm glad of that. But listen, he has authority over you. If you're saved tonight, you're not your own. What the Bible says, you are not your own anymore. You cannot do what you want to do. Amen. You need to do what that Bible says. You need to do what Jesus says. He knows them disciples, and he knows them disciples need to understand that he is and has a final authority, okay? We need to understand that tonight. Amen. Not only does he have a final authority over us, but he has a final authority over the world. Amen. I'm liking this. I don't know if anybody else is. I'm glad he has final authority over the world. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Can I say this? And I know you're going to get a good life out of this, so this will be all right. He's even got a final authority over Trump. Amen. Trump may be a good president. He's got final authority over Trump. Any leader in this world, he's got final authority. One day they're going to bow their knee unto Jesus Christ because he has final authority. Amen. One of these days, you listen to me very closely here, Muhammad's going to bow his knee to Jesus. One of these days, Confucius is going to bow his knee before Jesus Christ. It's going to happen, amen. I could go on and on. They are going to bow their knee. He has final authority over them all, amen. Over each and every one of them. He's even got final authority over the devil. Somebody say glory, hallelujah, right there. One of these days, he's going to grab him by the nape of the neck and the sea of the breeches and cast him into the lake of fire, amen, and get rid of that old rascal, amen. He has authority over the devil. Because he does, we do. He says in the scriptures over there, greater is he than you, that he's in the world. He has final authority tonight, amen. He has authority over everything and everyone. He even has final authority over the nature. Over the world. They stand back and they scratch their heads with all these tsunamis, all these hurricanes, all these earthquakes. Can't figure it out. Boy, can't figure it out. And God's got it right there in the palm of his hand. Does he not talk about in the scriptures that he meets it out in the hollow of his hand? Huh? Right there? He's got final authority over it. Amen. Somebody ought to say glory to God right there. I don't know if you're enjoying it as good as I am, but I like this. Amen. He's got final authority over it. Listen. Let me ask you a question. How do we know what time it is? Huh? How does he know what time it is? It ain't your clock. Okay, it ain't your clock. It's him. Where was it in the scriptures? Somebody may have to help me here. I won't say Joshua. That may not be right. Joshua, where he said, just let it stop for 24 hours. Sun don't move for 24 hours. You know what happened? That's what happened. NASA's still scratching their head over that one. They're doing all their calculations, and when they do it in the time, they're trying to calculate all of it. They done lost 24 hours, and they just can't figure out where it's going. They just can't figure it out. I just can't understand that. You know, try to turn that book. Read the book, amen. It's in there, amen. Listen, he has final authority over everything. There's nothing in this world that God don't have final authority over, amen. And his disciples needed to know that. Listen to me tonight. Jesus knew his disciples were very young, if you will, in the faith. They might have been older men or old up in age. I don't know how old they really were. But in the faith, if you will, they were probably pretty young. They hadn't followed Jesus all that long, and so they were pretty young. So he needed them to understand that he had the authority to do that. And he needed them to understand that because he knew what was coming up in their lives. He knew exactly where they were going to be walking. He knew exactly what they were going to be doing. He knew exactly where he was going to be sending them. He knew exactly to the house he was going to be sending them to. He knew exactly that he was going to Calvary and they were going to need something to help them along, something to carry them a little farther, if you will. And it all started with his authority. Did you get that? It all started with his authority, and that authority come from his word. Listen to me tonight. That authority comes from his word. Notice again with me verse 17. And his disciples remembered, what's this? That it was written. I thought about this coming down the road, church. If there's anything we need to remember, remember that it is written. Remember what's in that book. Remember what's in that King James Bible. You need to do some memory, memorizing. Memorize all of it you can. We might come around a time that they try to take up all our Bibles. We might come around a time like it is over there in China see the live feeds on. It is over there in China. We'll be very careful right here what I say. But they're having to smuggle Bibles into places. And if they can get one page of the Word of God, it is so precious to them. But the thing about it is, if they can memorize that Bible, ain't nobody can take it away from you. Ain't nobody can take it away from you. I remember verses of Scripture that my Sunday school teachers made me memorize or asked me to memorize, and I can remember this day. I can just about quote to you the Beatitudes from start to finish. Had a dear fifth grade teacher. You may have heard me tell this story. It's kind of funny, I guess. Had a fifth grade teacher, Bobby English. Some of you know Bobby English. And a dear, dear, precious lady in fifth grade. Me and another boy, and I'll not mention his name, kind of had a little bit of a scrap, fight, whatever you want to call it. We was boys, okay? And for the punishment, you know what she did? She made me and him both memorize the Beatitudes. You reckon that happened in the school system today? No. She's a precious lady. She's done gone on to be the Lord. She's a precious lady. But I thank God for this day that she made me memorize those. I thank God to this day for those that made me memorize the Word of God. Why, preacher? Why is it so important? Because that Word is that authority. We live in society and we are human beings. We need a final authority figure. We need an authority figure, somebody to answer to. Listen to me tonight. It's Him that we need to answer to tonight. It ain't the judge. It ain't the judge. It's Him. I'm going to be totally honest with you right here, and I'm trying my best to close. I ain't going to get close to where I was hoping to get tonight, but I'll be totally honest with you right here. I've had one time in my life that I've had to stand before a judge. And like an idiot again, I was going faster than I should have with my Mustang GT. Had a good time, but it didn't end up good. Anyway, I had to stand there in front of the judge. And the judge looked at me and said, "How do you plead?" And I just had to say, "Guilty. Guilty. How do you plead? Guilty." And so he dropped the gavel and gave me my punishment. I had to pay a certain fine. Give me my punishment. I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't like that. I was nervous. I was scared to death. At that time, I wasn't but about 19, 20 year old. I was scared flat out to death. I'm going to be honest with you. And it scared me. It really did. But let me ask you something. What would it be like to stand before God Almighty? Let's think about that just for a minute. What would it be like to walk up in front of God Almighty behind His desk there and have to stand and face Him? We do every day. If you give Him His position as authority figure, you do every day. Amen. He's gave you the rules to live by. He's gave you the book to live by. Amen. It's right there. Huh? Whether we do it or not, it's up to us. But if we don't do it, our penalty's coming. I broke the law, and the penalty came. Same way right here. We break the law, the penalty's coming. But I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've got an advocate. I had to throw that in there. I'm glad I got an advocate tonight. I'm glad I got one that'll stand beside of me. Amen. Thank God I'm glad one got one that died on the cross for my sins. Took the blood and covered my sins. Ain't you glad of that? Amen. Oh, when I stand before Him, yes, I have to say guilty. But you know what Jesus says? Justified. Amen. Yes, we're guilty. But then Jesus says justified, just as if He'd never sinned. Amen. What a blessing that is. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. But He still is final authority tonight, church. As we read the Scriptures, the disciples were very young and they were getting ready to take their walk, if you will, their journey with Jesus for several years, getting ready to follow Him. And He needed them at this point in their life and at this point in time to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He was the final authority. But He also needed them to understand that He would care for them, He would love them, and He would take care of them. And He showed them that in many places. Now, I want to jump ahead just a little bit if I can. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to close. Excuse me, 22. If I put my glasses on, I could see it. When therefore He was risen from the dead, the disciples, notice that, remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. In 17, verse 17, you find them at the beginning of his ministry, at the beginning of their journey with Jesus. In verse number 21 there, 22 there, you find them at the end of their journey when Jesus had died and rose again the third day. And the Bible says there, and there when he therefore had risen again from the dead, when again the third day when he rose again, it all of a sudden come back to their mind what he had said. What did he say, preacher? He told them old Jews there, he said, you tear down this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. In other words, I am going to resurrect. Amen. What was he saying? I have authority. I've got authority over death. And he said, I will raise again. He did say amen. Yes, sir. He rose again the third day. Come out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. He is the final authority over death tonight. Thank God for that. But the thing we want you to see tonight is this. The thought is, Jesus knows his disciples. Jesus knows what you need. He knew at the beginning of their ministry or their journey that they were going to need to know that he was the final authority. When he went in there and cleansed the temple, he showed them that, and their mind went back to the written word of God that this is him and he has a final authority. Then at the resurrection, he once again reminded them, and they remembered that back there, one day, he said, you break this temple down and in 3 days I will raise it up again. He's still final authority. He still is final authority. And he had them to realize this. He had them to remember this. Now I could take you through places all the way through their life that Jesus knew his disciples. I mean, I thought about this and I kind of wanted to go this way, but the Lord wouldn't let me, okay? I kind of got to thinking about each place maybe in the Bible where Jesus had knew his disciples and knew what they were thinking. And there's many places that you find those statements that he knew his disciples and knew what they were thinking. Knew exactly what was on their heart. And we could go to many of them. But what we need to understand tonight is he's our God at the first and he'll be God at the end. He's authority here and he'll be authority at the end. Amen. He changes not. Amen. Let's stand to your feet tonight. I do appreciate your attention tonight.